what is the counter to I outkicked my coverage? Is it a block punt? You know, did you pooch it?
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
I think muff punt is the right phrase there. Thank you for your responses. Hashtag DDFP. What is the opposite if you outkick your coverage to get a good-looking significant other? What is the significant other supposed to say about you? That you were the muff punt? That you were a pooch punt? An onside kick? We're looking for your answers. We'll continue to address that important issue. Meantime, welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. Cole Wright will be with us in just a second here. I just want to tell you a couple things quickly. We have up on Facebook primarily. Look for under the NFL and under Dave Dameshek on my public page. I always feel obnoxious saying I have a public page. But anybody could have a public page, right, Emma VP?
Yeah, I guess anybody could.
Right. So on that public page is the so-called NFL eyewitness, but not I like the one in your head. No, like I, like me, myself, like that kind of thing. Jerome Bettis, Reggie Wayne, Kibitzen about their recollections from one of the most ridiculous, insane 5-minute stretches in football history, specifically the 2005 divisional round game in Indianapolis. I think they were 13-3 Colts. They were the prohibitive favorites. The Steelers jumped on them. The Colts, of course, rally. Bettis fumbles at the goal line, all this and that. But their recollections are great. Great work if you're a fan of the NFL and the great work that Bindle Dog does on those. They've also addressed this with their animations around Bettis and Wayne. Great stories. Check it out. Many, many of you already have. Appreciate you doing that. Also, thanks for checking out all our work from Dallas over the last week or two. We sat down with Carson Palmer. There's some good segments still out there from that. And upcoming, DeMarcus Tank Lawrence, our sit down over a gigantic steak. We have that coming for you later this week. So be on the lookout for all that stuff. Lots of news. The Capitals, our pal back in Pittsburgh, Tim Benz, said it best. Charlie Brown finally kicked the ball, I guess, you know, after so many years of swinging and missing. Ovi and company get over on 87 and company, so they move on. I'm not, you tweet me all you want. All these people, what's it say about you that you tweet me in your moment of joy, that you take time out to tweet at me and mock me? I damn shit doesn't play that game. I don't do that, but so be it. And by the way, am I sad? Am I wringing my hands? No, the Penguins won the last two Stanley Cups. They've won three in Crosby and Malkin's career. I'm not going to mope around about that. That would be obnoxious. That would make me like a Boston sports fan. Shame the devil. All right, let's get to it now. Let's talk some pro football and the melodrama still going on the banks of the Three Rivers with Big Ben Roethlisberger. How dare he be upset about not being excited about his potential successor now being in town. That and much more with Cole Wright. Let's get to it.
Dave Dameshek.
All right, like I promised, here he is, one of our favorites here at NFL Media and even beyond these four walls. It is Cole Wright. What's the poop, fella?
Nothing much, man. Glad to be back.
Well, it's a pleasure to see you. Before we say anything else, go ahead and let everybody know where they can track you down. You are doing the pre- and post-game for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Wow, absolutely. Over on Spectrum, I have a spattering of games this season. I think like 23 games. I will be doing the pre- and post-game show, as you alluded to. I'll be down on the field. I think tonight it's myself, Jerry Hairston Jr., and Ned Coletti.
Ned Coletti.
Yeah.
Ooh, I
Chicago.
Like
three Chicago
him.
Guys
yeah.
sitting there on the field.
Well, and Ned Coletti, a frequent guest of the Petros and Money show.
Absolutely.
On Tuesday evening from 2 to 6 local time, I'm sitting in with our pal Matt Money Smith.
Nice.
Petros Papadakis out on vacation. Dameshek in. Listen to it. iHeartRadio is how you track that down.
That's right.
If you're listening before Tuesday night, then nice. Then wait.
Did you have know. To talk to Don Martin to get on that station? My man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? My man. What's up?
I know radio.
Yeah.
It's like a young Christopher Walken.
Wow, I never put two.
He's got the hair, some smooth back, a better looking Christopher Walken.
Boy, he is a.
Not to say Christopher.
If
Walken,
a movie were to make, we're gonna try and cast what a program director, a radio programmer is like. It is Money's Boss over there,
or Gordon Jump from WKRP in Cincinnati. The Maytag man, the guy who ran the bike shop.
All right, let's talk about a few things, shall we, Cole?
Let's go.
Right, we have some things to get to here. We definitely want to talk about Matt Ryan's new contract, what that means for Aaron Rodgers upcoming. Big Ben wants some money. We'll get into all that. It's National Teacher Appreciation Day. I have now seen the Avengers movie. We could talk about that. Eddie Spaghetti's birthday is on Wednesday.
Momentous occasion.
The Pittsburgh Penguins' reign as the juggernaut has come to a conclusion at the hands of the laughable Washington Capitals.
Well,
but
Dan Haley wasn't laughing.
No.
He was
shouting from
the rooftops.
I thought that was classless on his part. To, after the fact, and Amber Theo Harris as well, to send out taunting tweets at me. Damashek doesn't do that. Why? Because Damashek's got more class, I guess.
That's Pittsburgh Pirates fan, after all.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's dark. If you were the Capitals, you could just turn the page and say, like, well, now we have the Nationals to focus on for the next few months.
Sure.
I'm a Pirates fan. I don't have anything to look forward to except autumn.
They're playing well.
Pittsburgh Steelers. But now a lot of people are buzzing about what's going on there. So let's dig in on that then. Matt Ryan signs another massive deal, this one. We saw Matt Stafford's huge one with Kirk Cousins, on and so forth. The thing that's interesting – about those guys is, and Matt Stafford's maybe an exception, who's got a little bit of has had some luck work against him organizationally. I know he had Megatron, but for the most part, he hasn't had the quality rosters that some other high-end quarterbacks have. But where do you come down, first of all? Let's start with that. Aaron Rodgers, what do you think he now is worth if Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins and guys like that can command those sorts of dollars?
You remember Brian Bonzal? Remember, that was the kid that played Michael J. Fox's little brother on Family Ties. Also had that movie Blank Check. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to be worth right about now, a blank check. Because when you take a look at what a guy like Matt Ryan has done, you know, it's exceptional when you rank him against quarterbacks of all time. But is it as good as Aaron Rodgers?
No.
I don't think so. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a guy more like Drew Brees, I think, as opposed to a Tom Brady – He's gonna take what he's worth. You know, not to take anything away from Drew Brees or Tom Brady, but you know, Drew Brees his contract looks a little bit chunkier than Tom Brady's at the end of the day.
Here's the thing: Aaron Rodgers is a reminder of Brett Favre, and the way Aaron Rodgers came into the league for his first handful of years was underneath Brett Favre. When Brett Favre, though, saw Aaron Rodgers come in there, first-round draft pick, that set off the late stages of his career into a weird melodrama where he retired and unretired and retired and unretired several times over. It was quite ridiculous. Joe Montana did not like the idea of Steve Young being around there, and in fact, it ultimately led to the Niners saying, let's stick with the younger fella and ship Joe Montana, nothing less than the greatest quarterback of all time. At least at that point, it was beyond debate that he was the best quarterback of all time, and that got so sideways that they had to move Montana out. Tom Brady didn't like Jimmy Garoppolo so much that he apparently, if we can dig through the murky waters in Foxborough, what exactly happened there, it seems fairly clear that the premise of having Garoppolo and Brady was untenable. For whom? I don't know, but it certainly sounds like there are enough whispers out there that Brady didn't like it, and maybe they tried to deal Brady before they tried to get rid of Garoppolo. Either way, there was a divorce there between Garoppolo, the incumbent, the guy who you thought was going to take over for Brady, a man who's in his 40s, and now Brady's there, and now there is not a viable option for the next generation of the Patriots. What do you think Ben Roethlisberger thinks now? They bring in Mason Rudolph. You want Mason Rudolph? You want Ben Roethlisberger to be excited about Mason Rudolph? Hey, for 15 years. And so Matt Ryan, let's look at him. Is he a top five quarterback in the league? No, he certainly is not, to your point, right? Top five? You have to think about that?
No, he's not.
Listen. He's
top 10. I'd say maybe probably 7.
Even if you made a line that divided the top 16 and bottom 16 quarterbacks in the NFL, there still is a pretty big drop off from the top handful. The high-end generation.
1 through 7, much different than 8 through 16.
I would even say this. If you are Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, you're probably in, I mean, Cam Newton.
I was going to
Cam
you're
Newton
going
worked
there.
His way into yeah. there. And I guess Russell Wilson is, well, so maybe you're right. Half dozen or or thereabouts.
Sure.
I say it all the time. That we are told all the time about the need to get quarterbacks. Every draft we see it. These guys get seduced by the teams get seduced by 50-50 guys. Baker Mayfield, he might be combustible, but we got to take a chance because you need to have a franchise QB if you're going to have long-term success. Go ask the Vikings of 2017. Were they so enthused about Case Keenum that he was going to continue to be able to do that endlessly? No, they moved on from that and threw all sorts of loot at a slightly better quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Do the Ravens think Joe Flacco is the answer forever? No, they were jammed because he made that Super Bowl run. He won it. They had to pay him, but now a half decade later, now they have to go and get Lamar Jackson because they know that those needle in a haystack events where a mediocre quarterback is going to break through and actually hold up the Lombardi are few and far between, and the guys that win the Super Bowl are Brady, Peyton Manning when he was in the league, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, the high-end quarterbacks, right?
It's funny that you made the comparison between a guy like Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins because there isn't much of a difference. There's not much of a difference. I heard some guys talking in the locker room who played quarterback in the National Football League, and they're saying the difference is when it comes to those real tight window throws, Kirk Cousins can make him just a little bit better than a guy like Case Keenum. But you're not giving up that big of a difference when you put one or the other under center. And it was funny to see all three of those quarterbacks get shipped out of Minnesota, and you know now Kirk Cousins, he's the guy. But will he be the guy? Will he be able to, you know, wrap himself around that system and be able to, you know, mold and mesh with all those guys on that team? Like I don't know. I'm not an NFL front office executive, nor have I ever been.
Well, I've gone back and forth. Was it an anomaly or was it a new trend in the NFL to see the Final Four include Case Keenum and Nick Foles and Blake Bortles, guys on that level going up against Tom Brady, and then Nick Foles gets it done. The further away we get from it, and you know Nick Foles is going to fall back into a backup position as soon as Carson Wentz is ready to go. But the idea, first of all, how dare Roethlisberger? This is bad form. That's bad leadership. What a bad guy he is not to be excited about Mason Rudolph or to not express a willingness to teach this guy. Listen, for a decade and a half, Ben Roethlisberger, here's Ben Roethlisberger's worldview. It is not you and me, Cole Wright. You know,
Ben Roethlisberger,
for 20 years at least of his life, has been pumped up as the guy. You are a rare talent. You are going to make millions of dollars playing pro football, and now so he has. Not only does he get to the NFL, not only does he get a starting gig, he then turns into one of the generation's very best quarterbacks. Absolutely. He wins 2 Lombardi trophies. He's been to 3 Super Bowls. Do you think his mentality is the same? He thinks he's the man. Absolutely. And why does he think that? Because he is the man. He's been cheered wildly by tens of thousands for his deeds on the field. And when things go sideways, he gets booed and people blame him for stuff. This presents a complicated sense of self-esteem. But ultimately, because he's had more successes than failures, he has a massive ego. You know who else does too? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana. The list goes up. Brett Favre. These guys all have a big ego. And why? Because they're successful. It's the chicken or the egg, as a matter of fact. Partly, their ego has been, they're already large A, you know, a type A personality, has then been inflated even further by success against the best football players on the face of the earth, who they're still better than in crunch time. More often than not, they succeed. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger's worldview is, and you don't have to agree with it, you can think he's being irrational, but in fact, that's what you want out of your quarterback. You want that killer mentality. You don't want somebody who's thinking like, well, it could be me, but, you know, if I move on, the next guy will probably be able to pick up where I left off and keep on rolling. That's not the way they're built, and you don't want your quarterback built that way.
Essentially, these guys are just like Fortune 500 CEOs. I mean, on the field, when things are going awry, they're the ones who like to rein everything in. And as a Fortune 500 CEO, if you're working under that person, would you want to see your CEO as someone that comes in, you know, as a summer intern 1 year, and then, you know, they make their way up the ladder a little bit, and he's just like, okay, I'm gonna pass the torch to him. You know, eventually it's going to be his job, so I'll let him take the reins right now. No, you want that guy that's going to be in the boardroom ruling with an iron fist, and you want him to be able to take control of situations. And I don't know necessarily if the way Ben Roethlisberger has gone about it, you know, there's been a little bit of a gruff edge, so to speak. I mean, I think other quarterbacks in the past, and I'm sure other quarterbacks in the future, will probably handle it just
a little bit better. Eli Manning saying, well, if Davis Webb is my successor, so be it. I'll help coach the kid. First of all, it's not the exact same dynamic as it is in Pittsburgh right now. No, well, Roethlisberger's threatened to retire, so what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to do exactly what they did. They're supposed to draft a quarterback. It doesn't mean Ben Roethlisberger
has to
embrace that and say whatever the organization needs. He has been told for a decade and a half, we win and lose largely because of what you do, Seven. The team is built around you. You are the man. And again, I always go back to, it's funny how people, when it's convenient, get into this egalitarian mindset. Like, hey, you know what? It's not just about the quarterback. It's about the entire team. Then how come Matt Ryan is now making that kind of money? Yeah,
like Scrooge McDuck money.
Wait, the left guard? The left guard isn't making anything like that, is he?
Well, wait.
I thought it's all a team game. Shouldn't they all make the same amount of money? It's nonsense when people say that. Of course, the most important position in any sport that we watch is NFL quarterback. And that's why those guys make all that money. And that is, like I say, chicken or the egg. Perhaps in order to succeed, you have to be you have to be overflowing with self-confidence. You know you can do it. And in fact, they also then like to, in spite of overflowing with confidence, they also love to insert that chip on their shoulder too. Yeah. They impose it whether it's actually there or not. Michael Jordan loved to do that. Mm-hmm. And on down the line, this is what successful athletes do. Tom Brady does it. Ben Roethlisberger has now done it. I like the chip on his shoulder, and I don't expect that because the Steelers as an organization have decided, hey, listen, we're not going to shutter our doors when number 7 retires, doesn't mean that Ben Roethlisberger has to embrace that future. He's focused on now. That's what Ben Roethlisberger should be. It's the same thing as Cole Wright. Do you want, like, hey, Cole, your contract's coming up, man. We think you're good, though. Hey, but Eddie Spaghetti, he's younger than you, and we can get by with him for not as much money. Man, and we think the NFL –
disparaging Eddie Spaghetti's skill set.
We want the NFL – we want NFL media to keep on going, you know, even though, you know, I mean, it looks like, let's be real. I mean, you're not going to be here forever, Cole. So can you help Eddie Spaghetti out? You know, good luck. Well, listen, thanks for everything, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But and we're not saying goodbye. Well, I'm not saying you have to leave right now. But, I mean, eventually you're going to leave. So can you help our guy Eddie Spaghetti out? I mean, he'll be as good as you ultimately, we hope, right?
I mean, I think, you know, the thought process that I subscribe to is if you want to be the man, go ahead and beat the man. And Ben Roethlisberger, he knows he's the man in Pittsburgh. So all he has to do is go out there and do what he always has done. And get after it. And he shouldn't have anything to worry about. I mean, I don't think he needs to be I don't think he needs to vocalize how he actually feels. Like, just with the kind of cavalier. I know you're looking through it through Steeler glasses right now. And I'm a fan of the chip on his shoulder.
Well, wait a second.
I'm a huge fan, but I would just like to see him say, okay, I'm not necessarily going to help him, but, you know, he can watch me and he can learn from me, but I don't necessarily have to implement my whole teaching process to him.
Well, wait a second. How am I not being pro-Steelers if the Steelers are, and I'm biased, and therefore I am supporting Ben Roethlisberger. If I'm such a Steelers guy, wouldn't I be supportive of what the organization's doing here?
Well, I think you're more Ben Roethlisberger centric than I know you're a Steelers guy right now,
that's
but I mean, ridiculous.
Spaghetti, weigh in. That's obviously not true.
I'm actually with Cole. I said to him, you're looking through this through black and yellow glasses.
Yeah, you are.
You are.
It's all right, though. Ben, I'm more on your side of the fence than not.
The problem with Ben is that Ben has done other stuff in the past, and then for him to say this again when this is like the natural progression of the NFL, even though he has no. His job is not being threatened in the least, and the fact that he says something and creates controversy
exactly.
is super.
You
is guys, really, really
you
bad.
Guys, like, you want to beat me, Mason Rudolph? Yeah. Then go ahead and try.
First of all, people think Mason Rudolph is a pretty below average quarterback prospect. Like, he might not even be the guy to replace him
in the first place.
That's
not true. First of all,
below average.
But you never know.
At Old Mason.
I'm just saying, from what people have said, you never know if he's the guy to even replace Ben and to create this controversy when he's threatened to retire every year. And, like, I don't know. It's just
the
it's
point
a bad
I,
look.
The point I'm. I, I mean, I kind of – whether or not you think – that's not the issue. Do you think it's a bad look is one discussion. Is it – should we expect it? Should we – should our jaws drop? Should I be teetering on fainting? Because
clutch the pearls, Dave.
Because a type A personality superstar who, like I say, has been cheered wildly for his good deeds and been booed for his bad deeds, the guy who's been who's making $20+ million year after year after year, you expect him to have the same mentality as you and I have? That's silly. That's naive that we would expect that.
It's happened to a lot of quarterbacks, and they've handled it way better than Ben has.
I just went through the list of names.
Eli Manning
is not on the level of Ben Roethlisberger.
No, he's better. He has a two Super Bowl MVP.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And his career will end with better numbers.
That's nonsense.
You not including Eli in the same conversation as Ben, I think, is wrong.
All right.
Well,
now you're being silly.
They should have him in a conversation. The conversation being Ben Roethlisberger is better than Eli.
I just cited for you historical examples. Tom Brady has not dealt well with the emergence of Jimmy Garoppolo, so much so Jimmy Garoppolo now lives on the other coast. Brett Favre didn't deal with Aaron Rodgers behind him so well that he retired and unretired and ended up wearing a Vikings uniform, for goodness sakes.
You could look at the number of quarterbacks. Joe Montana
wound up wearing 19 playing in the state of Missouri for some reason because he didn't like Steve Young. These things do not always work out for the incumbent quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is right to feel vaguely threatened by this, to announce you're the man, but hey, you're not going to be the man forever, and you're a human being, and you are going to move on at some point. Whether we agree or we think that's rational thinking isn't the point. He's entitled to be that way, and whether or not we embrace it or not, this is part of the mindset that has allowed these guys, not just Roethlisberger, but all the names I just ran off for you, all of them to be successful because, one, they have a big ego, and, two, when that ego is threatened or poked at, then they get a chip on their shoulder and they push back at it. This is what you want. You want a fighter. You want a killer. People always say that thing about, hey, it doesn't make a difference if you're playing, horseshoes with a guy or any other guy, ping pong with Brady or he wants to kill you.
Yep.
You know what that is? Did you grow up with guys like that? Did you play wiffle ball in the backyard with guys like that?
Yep.
You know what you call those guys? Jerks. They're not fun guys. I quit. You struck me out. They walk home. Those are not fun guys to hang out with, but that's who you want as your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't agree. I think there's other scenarios that I could think of that.
The
Giants drafted Ryan Nassib, for example, a guy who thought they would sneak in the first round. He didn't play a meaningful snap in the NFL because Eli knew the guy was there. He just outplayed him, and this is what happened. There's a big debacle last year with what happened with Eli. They drafted Davis Webb last year. They drafted Loletta this year, and Eli's just like, you know what? I'm glad we added a piece, a left guard. I'm glad we added a running back, and I'm going to work hard, and he's helping Davis Webb in the film room. They're like joking around with each other, like, and we had on this show, you talked about Roethlisberger retiring, like, will he retire? We had people say that he would retire if they won the big game, and then he's gonna get mad they drafted.
I completely get that. That's where you're coming down on this, that he has said that Roethlisberger said I'm thinking about retirement, you know, not just once, a couple times,
sure.
I'm thinking about, I don't know, maybe the game's passed me by. Now, you could ascribe some of that stuff after the Jags game. There was a sarcasm intoned in that. But, okay, let's say that.
A bunch of dumb questions.
Let's take it on face. All right, he's threatened to retire. How dare you then try to move on from me, Steelers? I told you I now intend to play 3 to 5 years. Yes, but we now need, as an organization, need to be ready to move on. Roethlisberger is entitled to be irrational about that. He doesn't owe it to the Steelers or anybody to then say, let me put my arm around the next generation. What do you think his role is in the Steelers organization?
He's not in the organization.
But
he just shouldn't open his mouth, or don't say you're going to retire, or don't say you don't want an incumbent quarterback. You got to pick one side.
He answered questions. What should he do? Is it better off? Are we better off with these? I bellyache all the time, as do many people in this business, about how NFL quarterbacks are conditioned very quickly after they get their feet wet. Maybe even by the time they even get drafted, they've already been so schooled on not saying anything while you're doing interviews. This is what the vast majority of quarterbacks do. Ben Roethlisberger answered a question honestly, or maybe with a little bit of snark in there, or passive aggression, built in there or whatever, but he answered it in a real way. All right. I mean, listen, if I'm such a Steelers, I should be nervous. Oh no, is this going to scuttle 2018? I'm saying it is what it is. He has a big complicated ego after 15 years of being one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the 21st century. He is going to have a different sort of level of confidence. He's going to have a different level of expectation about what he's entitled to. He's been told by everybody in the organization, you're the man. We succeed or fail with you. We pay you as such. And now he is, you know, whether we like it or not, he is going to react with that chip on the shoulder, with a little bit of ego. How dare you? Life should end when I walk away. I said to Brian Urlacher about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. after he retired, do you hope that the Bears, you'll be upset if they win the Super Bowl in this season, the year after you retired, right? Yeah. He's like, I hope they do well. I don't want them to win the Super Bowl without me. Nobody wants that, especially no human being wants that.
Yeah.
Especially a guy who at his job gets paid 20-something million and people cheer for him when he does his job. Imagine how that would mess with your ego. What kind of celebrity when it's like, yeah, we're going to hook you because in real life, we no celebrity football player otherwise lasts forever. We have to remove you and move on. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have to suit Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I think his salty edge may come from the fact that he knows what Mason Rudolph has in his tank. I think he sees this guy and he's like, wow, you know, is he a young Ben Roethlisberger? Not 100%, but I think there's some attributes when he watches some of his game film. And if anyone out there thinks that Ben Roethlisberger hasn't watched Mason Rudolph game film, at least a few minutes of it, then I would go out on a limb and say shame on them, because you have to know what's coming down the pipe behind you. I mean, if you don't, then shame on you, because that I think that's where he has to be. And I don't know what you think about this, but I think that Ben Roethlisberger, his off-season routine this year is going to be ramped up just a little bit. I think if you're putting that much stock into everything that you're saying when you get these questions and you have to almost come with a combative sound to it, then you're going in that gym and you're getting after. You're going to look like, you know, LeBron and Cam Newton flipping tires down the street. I think he's going to come in and he's going to be a rebuilt, a remodeled Ben Roethlisberger. I could be wrong. I don't know, though. That's what I would do.
I think the glass half full view, if you're a Steelers fan looking at this situation, is that this is going to further motivate Roethlisberger. He's going to be hungrier than ever.
Why not?
The glass half empty is that when you go on record and you announce all over the place, I'm the man and I don't want to hear another word about it.
Yep.
Well, you better be the man in January.
Come in looking like that.
And he was great. He was great in that January playoff game, saved the one pick that he threw early in the game. He was great and he did carry the Steelers, mm-hmm. and he almost did get them back into that game and did almost get them back over the hump. But now that you have set it up and you're saying it on the record the way Roethlisberger is, now there's additional pressure on him to prove that in these last, whatever it is, last
he's,
3 years,
he's got to get
five
with Matt Stafford's career. Offseason trainer from last year. You see, Stafford came in this year with some biceps.
I mean,
looked a little more svelte. Now Big Ben's better than Matt Stafford.
That's
obviously
also the point. You can't lose that nuance
of it. He's way better. I just think he needs
to get with his trainer. Eli Manning and Matt Stafford are fully in the upper half. Well, Eli Manning,
I just think Matt Stafford's trainer did a great job last offseason.
Matt Stafford
got him into fighting shape.
Matt Stafford has very quietly put together some great seasons after Calvin Johnson, and he isn't being properly celebrated for it. He is certainly one of the top 16 quarterbacks in the league, but there is still a difference between Stafford and Ben Roethlisberger,
Without a doubt.
That also colors things. It's not just human. I'm not comparing Ben Roethlisberger to Eddie Spaghetti and his work and his mentality versus Eddie Spaghetti's approach to his work. I'm talking compare him to NFL starting quarterbacks. 32. The world has 7 billion people, as I always say, and there are only 32 people that can play NFL quarterback, and that's a struggle. Look at the draft. Look at all the drafts.
Yep.
People reach for these quarterbacks whether they make sense in the first round or not, mm-hmm. because that's how desperate people are to have a quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger knows, hey, the Steelers, you got one of those guys. You don't just have a capable quarterback. You have one of this century's very best, one of the 3 to 5 best of this century, and you're looking to move on? No one. Oh, Eddie Spaghetti's making eyes at that one now, too.
I think Eddie Spaghetti prepares.
Eddie Spaghetti.
Just like an NFL quarterback.
High. 3 to 5 is super high.
You might be high, I think. I don't know.
You're off the 3 to 5, 3. It's Brady, Manning, Breeze. Then you want to add Rodgers. Like, that's so much. Roethlisberger's not that high.
I mean, I don't even
I'll
know
give
what
you top seven.
He's well, I mean, he's been to three Super Bowls in his career.
Okay.
And he won two of them.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's not okay. That's just, better than okay.
I don't think – I mean, Rodgers only won one, but I would say Rodgers is better.
Okay.
Breeze
is Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback
top,
of all time.
He's top five to seven.
I'll take
five to seven. Ridiculous. I'll
take Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers, and I know most people look at me like I'm nuts.
Okay. That's nuts as well. That's all. You guys are buying. Well, who am I talking to?
Well, how many quarterbacks have thrown for over 5,000 yards more than once?
Who are these people?
Drew Brees has done it five times, and only until this season, only had one. Not even a receiver catch 100 passes. It was Lady Tomlinson.
If we want to numbers it up, I can throw 500-yard games out of Roethlisberger's right arm all over the place. And, you know, for
how many 5,000-yard seasons after those?
Listen, I refer you back to the three Super Bowl appearances if you have any questions about Ben Roethlisberger's career and what he's been able to string together over 15 seasons.
Better than Eli Manning.
Eli Manning.
I mean, he still has two Super Bowl MVPs, so it's fine.
Still has those.
Yeah. Didn't have Jerome Bettis coming out of the backfield for him, though.
No, he just had a generational pass rush chasing after 12 Brady.
His defense is good, so So the offense, like would they play receiver for him too? Come on,
I don't disgrace Eli Manning's legacy. You're disgracing it by going too far.
I just don't think they're that far apart. Like you
I mean, now you've distracted me from what the point is. The point is. The high-end QBs react how they react, and they have a different mentality than anybody else does, including versus Eli Manning. Peyton, Eli's brother Peyton, regarded situations like this differently than his younger brother Eli did. You think Peyton liked the idea? Remember when Peyton had the neck injury and it was clear that Andrew Luck was going to go there? What do you think? How would that have gone? Andrew Luck come in like Peyton to coach up Andrew Luck?
That's the number one overall pick. This was a third round selection. If the Steelers traded up for like Lamar Jackson, let's say, I would be totally on board with what Roethlisberger is saying. Taking a third round quarterback to me is not
all right. Tom Brady didn't like a second round pick named Garoppolo behind him. Brett Favre didn't like Aaron Rodgers there. Montana didn't like Steve Young there. There are any number of examples of great. I'm not talking about a good quarterback, and I think Eli goes to the Hall of Fame and all that. Come on, with the Eli is as good as the names I've just read off to you.
No, I'm not saying that. I just don't think that taking a mid-round quarterback is deserves this attention. They did not move up for a first-round selection. That's all I'm saying. A lot of teams take mid-round guys that they don't expect much. And Dak Prescott with Tony Romo.
Seven is feeling the heat of this. It's time for you guys to win. You must cash in 2018.
Sure.
That's clear. It's not hard to read the tea leaves. By the way, they're treating Le'Veon Bell. It's all amounted to this. This is it. 2018, get it done. Or it's time to start moving some things around, making some significant changes, including Le'Veon Bell and beyond. Roethlisberger gets that. He is entitled to ask, well, then if it's all on this year, then why are we looking ahead to 3 or 5 years from now when I've already told you I'm playing? I get. All I'm saying is I get where his mentality is, even though it's not my mentality. Yeah. I'm vain. I have self-doubt. I don't think I could do it. He does think he can do it.
Carly Simon was singing to you, huh?
By the way, that brings up a great point as we'll transition now out of that. I was listening to Carly Simon's song. And she says, you're so vain.
Yep.
You probably think this song is about you. First of all, Carly Simon, 2 points of note. One, that's not vanity. That's narcissism. If you think a song is about you, then you're a narcissist. If you're vain, you hope the song is about you.
Sure.
It's a key distinction. I'm vain. I would like people to sing songs about me. Mm-hmm. They just don't. A narcissist expects songs about them. And by the way, one way or the other, I guess you're right, Carly, because the song is about him.
It's true, isn't he?
You probably think this song is about you. Yeah, what is about me, isn't it?
It was about him, yeah. Kind of was.
How arrogant are you? Look at you. You probably think I'm singing a song about you. Well, you are, Carly, aren't you?
Yeah. Have you ever had your name in a song before?
I mean, like Dave Damashek, or is the name Dave in any song?
No. You specifically. Dave
Damashek. Sure. My man Dick Banks has sung a song or two about me.
David.
Dumb question.
That's true. I guess.
How about you?
No, I never have. I remember one time I was berated in the newsroom by Jeff Blasucci and Matt Tanton, two tremendous producers over on the other side. I said, you know you've made it when you find your name in a hip-hop song. And they're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I said, imagine if you get an album. We don't get albums anymore, but if you pop in that cassette tape and you're riding down the road.
Like Sam the Butcher.
Yeah, from Alice's Main Squeeze.
He's in a Beastie Boys song, Paul's Boutique.
He is. That was that tape.
Like Sam the Butcher bringing Alice the meat. That's like Fred Flintstone driving around with bald feet.
That's right.
Right?
What
old school. Damashek.
What color was your Paul's Boutique tape, cassette tape?
I don't even think I had it as a cassette. So.
Would you have it as an album or an 8-track?
I got it as a... Yeah, I had it.
You didn't get Paul's Boutique as a
CD.
No way. It came out like 1987.
No, it came out in 1989.
If you were rocking CDs in 1989, Dave Damashek had the longest driveway in a 5-car garage.
I believe 1989. I believe 1989 featured not just Paul's Boutique, but also Fear of a Black Planet.
Public Enemy.
A seminal year for hip hop.
I had both of those in tape.
Actually, I think
Paul's Boutique, a red cassette tape.
It's so old in hip hop terms. I think they still called it rap. I don't even know if the word hip hop.
KRS-One probably called it hip hop.
He did?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was the pioneer of calling it hip hop, at least.
Give me your win play show of hip hop groups.
Groups?
Or however you want to.
I mean, because the groups and solo artists are that's different. That's much different.
Groups.
Hmm.
Tribe One. Tribe gets the win for Damashek.
Yeah, but I have to go with Tribe One as well. The Roots, too.
Ah, very good call.
Yeah.
That's
and,
nice. I like that.
Maybe we got to go with De La Soul.
De La Soul.
Yeah.
I once saw De La Soul. I once went to the Cubby Bear, little club right there, at Catty Corner,
absolutely.
Literally Catty Corner from Wrigley Field, yep. To see De La Soul, and I saw the band Fishbone was opening for them, and a couple of people had said, oh, you should check out Fishbone if you get the
That's
chance.
Right.
This was 92, 93-ish, mm-hmm. And I said, all right, we'll go check out Fishbone. Fishbone, to this day, the greatest live show
I remember you telling me this, and about a month and a half, 2 months ago, Fishbone was playing right down Redondo Beach, right off of PCH. I took a picture of it, and I tweeted it to you, and it got zero favorites, zero
Is that
retweets.
True? I missed it. I missed the retweet.
I told him days in advance. He didn't even. He's such a big timer. He's got such a Twitter following.
I'd like to know what Eddie
Spaghetti's
talking about back there. I can tell it's condescending.
Well,
go ahead.
No, it's more of
hip kids.
It was more of Emma's three bands. You gotta say it's really funny.
All right, I'm going. Destiny's Child.
Wow.
Lonely Island, and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Oh no.
Destiny's Child doesn't even rap. They're not hip hop artists. What are you talking about, Emma? And Lonely
That's
Island.
That's why I was giggling
It's a parody group.
I know.
That's Andy Samberg and the other guy from Hot Rod.
I
right?
know. And by the way, Cole, you left out the Woo. That must have been a tough.
Like I said, you know, I feel like there's so many offshoots. I mean, I have all the solo albums and everything as well, and I feel like they just start like now that we're so far removed. You know, we're not the pharma guy with the $2 million Wu-Tang album. So
Skrelky.
I haven't,
whatever.
Yeah, see, whatever. I don't know the exact pronunciation, but I feel like it's been a long time since the Wu have dropped an actual album as one solid unit. And rest in peace, ODB.
All right. By the way, what do you think of Childish Gambino's new number there?
On SNL or the new video?
New video.
I've seen pieces of it. I have not seen the entire thing. I had would it come out on Saturday night?
I don't know.
Maybe Sunday night?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this.
I feel like he should hit the gym a little bit more if he's going to be walking around shirtless.
He's
not in the best of shape. Like, yeah, I mean, he's rich now. He can have a trainer. They could be cooking great fish and vegetables that are delicious.
Back,
get some push-ups on.
I refer you back to our conversation about these superstar QBs. It's the same thing. They don't get pushback.
Well, I guess not. Someone sees like, hey, I'm going to go shirtless. Great idea, Donald. Go with it. Childish, go ahead.
They don't understand.
Mr. Gambino.
They don't understand that the whole nonsense about no one outside this locker room believes in us. It's, wait, what? How does that happen? They can take the slightest slight because they're not used to getting any resistance.
Like Donald Glover right now, since he's on top of the world.
Wait, what? I haven't heard any complaints about this body.
He's flexing in the mirror, and he's like, yeah, I'm looking swole. And they're like, yeah, Don, you're looking great. Yeah, Mr. Gambino looks terrific. Like, would you like some baby oil, coconut oil perhaps?
Now you're starting to get it. It doesn't make it right. I'm just telling you that's the reality. That's all I'm telling you.
It's like Michael Jordan's friends that tell him that carpenter jeans and 7-button suits no longer in style. Yeah, Mike, that looks great. Keep wearing wearing that. That mustache in the middle of your lip, that looks tremendous.
Whether you realize it or not, now you're making my point.
You got it. Now you're understanding. All right. Yeah, we're on the same
page. I'm not telling you, Spaghetti, it's the right way to do. I'm telling you it is the way. That's how it is, whether you like it or not. MVP, do you understand me?
Yeah, I always understand.
Yep. Do you think I'm being biased? Oh, how am I biased? I'm not. If I am such a black and gold guy, wouldn't I be saying like, "Oh, Roethlisberger, this is bad form. How dare you not honor the Steelers by showing fealty to the Steelers brand and coaching up the next generation quarterback?"
No, I just I don't care.
I said it to MVP, sir, not to you.
Yes. Fans usually side with the organization.
And who am I siding with here? I'm telling you.
I'm siding with the player, and I side with you.
I feel like when you have a player that's so great at their position for X amount of years, and especially when it exceeds a decade, I feel like the player in your head almost becomes bigger than the franchise.
Now, that's happened.
I really think it does. Like, you're telling me that if the New York Yankees would have done Derek Sanderson Jeter dirty in – 3 years before he was ready to retire, that Yankees fans would have been like, "I'm done with the Yankees. You see how they did Jeter? There's no way I'm going to a Yankees game ever again." But they didn't. They did everything the right way, and he ended his career on top with 5 for 5 last game. I just feel that.
But when a great player
is attached to a franchise, I feel like you feel more of a bond with that player than the actual franchise until they're gone and you develop a relationship with another player.
Well, that, you know what? You just described my relationship with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mario Lemieux at some point outstripped my interest in the team. And, in fact, it was really hard to stay engaged, even when they were halfway decent after Lemieux retired and all that stuff. I realized watching the Penguins without 66 out there was less satisfying. Now I've come back around as 87 and 71 and their stars have emerged. I hear your point on that. The point is, though, that I get what you're I completely
you see what I'm saying?
I absolutely get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But I also think that it reminds me when you say if Jeter had left there, well, Favre did leave Green Bay, and now they've come back together. The Lambeau faithful cheer for number four, and he talks glowingly about his great years up in Green Bay. But for a few years there, it was ugly, and Ben Roethlisberger is a human being who can see things with his two eyes, and he sees – boy, that's how they – look at how they treated the legend Brett Favre up there in Green Bay. Look at how Joe Montana was treated. Look at Tom Brady. He's the best of the generation. And look at how the Patriots have treated him.
It's a bad taste in your mouth. They don't.
That's right, he is. Yeah. He's not just talking for himself. He's talking for everybody. It's unreasonable.
No.
It's irrational to think that you just – everything will compromise all others to just make everything right for you, number seven. That doesn't mean that his mentality has to change, though. It's part of what fuels him.
Do you remember the Pittsburgh Pirates fallout with Mike LaValliere? That was
Spanky LaValliere. Yeah. That was a tough time.
Wasn't it, though?
Too soon.
Sid Bream.
Too soon. You know what wasn't too soon? What was right on time? Was that ball from Barry Bonds into Mike LaValliere's glove as he tapped the shot, Sid Bream's toe. An instant before Sid Bream's other toe hit home plate.
If they only,
that's right. LaValliere got him in time. That should have been an out. Extra innings.
If they would only gave all that cash to Barry Bonds as opposed to Mr. Van Slyke.
He didn't want it.
Sure he didn't.
He didn't want it.
Sure.
He wanted to go to San Francisco.
Sure.
As is his right. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's episode 666.
Whoa.
That's right. What do you
Easy
think
now.
About that?
Easy now. Couldn't we fast forward and skip an episode? Like, there's no 13th floor?
Shouldn't we dishonor this day in some fashion, MVP?
Yeah,
episode 666?
I think it's almost one of the episodes. You almost just label it 667. Like I said,
and
like the 13th.
Studio 66.
I'm not that way. I don't jive. I don't jive. You see the sign up on the wall there, Cole.
That's true.
That would be jiving myself.
So if you built a building, if you were a structural engineer and you built a building, there would indeed be a 13th floor?
666. It does make me want to do devilish things when I see that there a hotel – or airplanes that don't have a 13th row or a 13th floor. I want to go around to people on the 14th floor and knock on their doors and be like, "You know, you're on the 13th floor. You're not kidding anybody."
That is true. That's very true.
When I pass row 14 on the airplane from now on, I might start pointing that out.
I sat in row 14 just the other day.
I know you guys think you're okay, but you're technically in row 13. So I might put some masking tape around that window. We've heard some people flying out of that window.
I initially walked past row 12 and then row 14 because I was expecting a row 13. Never had that that actual conundrum before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I sat in row 14. Everything went well. I'm here
well,
with you.
Well, this time. But the point is, I'm not going to play the game of trying to dupe the audience or myself into mm-hmm. calling this 667. It is
okay.
what it is.
That's true.
What do you think, MVP? We should kill someone off?
We can kill someone off. You could
kill someone off. Well, how are we going to kill someone off?
I don't know. Make it up.
Like Handsome Hank?
Yeah, like Handsome's gone.
Yeah, they were supposed to be here, but not today.
Well, we could do – I mean, I'm loath. You know me. I hate to do spoiler alerts, but – You know, we could, like, you know, there are certain movies out there right now
Uh-oh.
Or one big-time movie that I can think of where there's some cliffhangers out there, and I do think that the cliffhanger allows for, in the sequel, to see even if somebody, let's say, got killed off or whatever.
Perished.
We could see somebody coming back.
Wow.
That's not a spoiler. Is that a spoiler at this point?
I think social media essentially is a spoiler. I mean, everybody kind of knows.
There's so many
narrative.
You don't care. This is a great gauge. This will help. This will inform how we move forward on the DDFP in the coming days and
wow.
handful
Precedent
of
center.
Weeks. Cole Wright, you don't care. You're apathetic about the Avengers movies, right?
Don't really care.
You don't care about superhero movies?
Not really.
Okay.
I see everyone every once in a blue moon, I'll go out and see
perfect.
One.
You're the perfect yardstick then for
All
this.
Right.
What do you know about this new movie? Just give me a couple things you know about
Can I say things that would be a spoiler?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen it. But I heard that there's a big fight at the end, and a lot of cats get beat down by Thanos. I don't even really know what his name is.
Okay.
And there's a guy that is the that's somebody's assistant, and from what I've seen from everything in social media, as soon as the fight jumps off, poof, he's gone. He's out of there.
Wait, I don't even know what that is. Do you follow that one, Spaghetti?
No, not thinking, no.
There's a guy, I've seen like all these memes, and the guy's like, oh, you guys have beef with Thanos? All right, cool, be safe. I'm out.
Well, yeah. That.
Who's it? Dr. Strange's assistant. Is that who it is?
Oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, is he a superhero? I'm like, well, who is this cat?
Oh, yeah,
I'm like,
that's a good point. Yeah, he wasn't. I don't think he was in the rest.
Like,
does
he have powers? I mean, what does he do? Is he like when Sinbad played Black Lightning on SNL and he was there at someone's at Batman's funeral and he was like zapping everybody and they're like, come on, Black Lightning, cut that out. Like his superhero qualities were not as superhero-y as everyone else's.
Yeah, he does. His sidekick guy, Dr. Strange's sidekick, does have powers. He's not as powerful as Dr.
It's like kind of like bootleg powers. Like,
yeah, he's missing the Dr. Strange's more powerful because he can control time.
Okay, I thought it'd be something like he's like really good at calligraphy or something like that.
No,
like, not really a power, but
I don't like, for the record, just in case everybody was
it's fluent in Latin.
I like my superheroes to be human or close to human.
Captain America.
This Doctor Strange jazz, like he's magic and
no.
Did
you watch the actual movie?
No.
He's a regular dude who loses the use of his. He was a surgeon, lost the use of his hands, and then he went to this like guru type.
But
of
But now
like,
he's
sorcerer.
Magic.
No, but they just let him channel like the other dimensions and stuff, and he just got this stone.
It's too far fetched, man.
He basically got this stone that could make him control time.
That's what I'm telling
He's
you.
He's very
I don't care
human.
About that
he was
stuff.
A surgeon in like New York City. That's
I don't
mean.
Need I don't need outer space. And by the way, people say, "Wait, what? You love Star Wars?" Well, I also love fruit, but I don't like fruit mixed in with the rest of my food. Mm-hmm. I don't need my superheroes going out into outer space.
Yeah,
you know,
too much.
Keep it in the city. Keep it, you know, let Batman slug it out in Gotham with
all the
Joker
extra flying
and stuff.
That's why I like Captain America. He had a shield.
He's superhuman. But still, I can
buy that. In the first one, was he superhuman?
Yeah. Well, whatever.
I don't like Captain America.
Most people didn't. See, most comic book cats did not like, or people that watch all these superhero movies did not like Captain America. They didn't like
I don't
Green Lantern.
His only offense
like,
is defense.
I don't like Green Lantern either because of the same thing. He's mystical. He goes off into space and needs his magic to do his stuff. You know, I don't need that.
I'm not down with that either, Dave. My life tries to stay rooted in reality. All
I've said
fantasy
it a million
stuff,
times before. Superman is – you are – a front runner supreme if your favorite is Superman.
Superman is pretty dope though. Let's not
I guess so.
The original Superman that came on the other day, I introduced my daughter to and she started watching. She actually dug it even though it was
with the late great Chris Reeve.
That's right.
Superman
that's
too
right.
Still is right up there.
Gene Hackman.
Great. Listen, those are wonderful pictures.
Richard Pryor in 2 or 3.
That's at least three, maybe even four. I don't know which one, but he's not in the first two. I'll tell you this. I've said it before. Superman is made of steel. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He shoots lasers from his eyes. He should win every time. What's that to root for? I root for Batman. He's just a man.
It's true.
He's just being brave. He's just a man out there.
But Aquaman. All he can do is channel the powers of fish.
MVP will tell you, do not start Dave on Aquaman. She doesn't want to hear about Aquaman.
Is he good or bunk when it comes to superheroes? Because some people look at him as bunk and some people...
He's the worst. He's the worst.
He gets you great deals on seafood, wholesale.
He said, well, I wouldn't put that past him. Yep. That's the only thing Aquaman, as far as I know, at least hasn't done, is eaten the real heroes. But he uses those poor heroes to do his
bidding.
Like
a scab hero? Like he's the one that crosses the picket lines?
No, yeah. No, he's like, hey, killer whale, look, there's a bad guy ship has a nuclear bomb on it. Why don't you something about it? You know, you should do so. Hey, go handle that, why don't you? Meantime, I'll be over here. When you're finished, let me know so that I can get all the glory.
He's at the end. Like, if you're looking at the superhero directory, you're going through your superhero Rolodex, you need a superhero to fight your crime, he's the last one you call.
He's the precursor.
The last one.
He's of no value if it's on land. You know, he has no use whatsoever. Better to call Dave in that case than Aquaman. And two, he's the predecessor to Ryder from Paw Patrol. This kid abuses these dogs. He collects them all. Like, I don't know where he got them. I'm assuming he rescued them all because they're not the same breed or anything. He has them all. He trains them to do his bidding in this town that they apparently are the only utility workers. They're the only cops and firemen and otherwise
in the town.
And Ryder, they call him, hey Ryder, we need help. He's like, I'm right on it, I'll have my dogs go do dangerous stuff and then I'll get the credit for it.
That's true.
Same crap, different day. Was that quick?
He's
enough
like
MLB
a CEO
thing?
That was quick.
He's like a Fortune 500 CEO, like a quarterback. It all goes back to them getting all the credit.
Cole Wright, you can only see these movies. You can put the movies in order that you would see. You can only see Solo, Avengers, Incredibles Part 2. Which one are you seeing?
Deadpool doesn't count. I can't put Deadpool
in there. Put Deadpool in there.
Okay.
I'll allow you to replace the Avengers with Deadpool.
Chances are I will go see Incredibles 2 because every single animated movie that comes out, take the little one, pretty much. She likes the first one, so that will be probably first.
Likes the first one? If she doesn't understand,
If it's just me, then that one doesn't even make the list. But
Incredibles doesn't make a list of best animated movies.
No, I mean even the first Incredibles. Come on, I mean
first Incredibles is the best animated movie there's been. Number one, not two, not one of the best, the best. Number one, sir. Spaghetti, MVP.
It's bold.
Over Toy Story.
Yeah, over Toy Story.
I don't know about that.
Incredibles is pretty great. Space I'm looking forward to it.
Incredibles. Then Book of Life, then Nemo. Mm.
Do you like Inside Out?
I like Inside Out very much.
Makes your eyes sweat as a father for a little girl. Makes your eyes sweat a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Toy Story is pretty.
Toy Story and Space Jam.
I like Moana. Kubo. Moana's pretty good.
Yeah, Moana's good, too.
Real solid.
Have you seen Kubo and the Two Strings? Another gem. That would be in the conversation for top four or five for me. Hmm. Incredibles, not in the top five. Ridiculous.
Solo to me, from everything I've seen so far, I mean, it just looks a little bit rushed. I tweeted that out the other day. Another tweet that went unnoticed by big-time Twitter star Dave Damashek.
Who are you to criticize Ben Roethlisberger or anyone else? You the same thing. Like, yeah, my life and everyone else's in your orbit should be devoted to pumping you up?
No, not at all. But, I mean, sometimes with things that people think are hot takes.
See, that's narcissism, whereas mine is vanity. I just want that to be the case. I don't think it's the case.
I mean,
I don't expect it. I just wish it were. You understand the difference?
Of all the
Cole
tweets
Wright's
that
like,
Dave,
wait, Dave, you didn't retweet my observation that Solo feels rushed?
How dare you, sir?
Like,
it goes back to the fishbone. I was trying to hip you on one of your favorite shows of all time. He said that fish. It would be like if there was a Godfather cinema, you know, Plex, you know, going down, and they had a showing of 1, 2, and 3. You might leave after 2, but I'd still let you know if there's one by in my neck of the woods. I'd let you know, man. That's just me looking out for you.
I mean, I think we've gone off the rails with that ridiculous attempt to rationalize You know, I respect Roethlisberger more now because he's not backing off of it. He's not issuing some lame apology.
I tweeted out that Solo looked rushed, and I just don't think it's.
Did you add me? Why would I know?
I did.
What do I
don't know? I see Dave's tweets. I follow you. You follow me.
Supposed to start with me combing through Cole Wright's last 24 hours of observations about the game of life?
I mean, we all follow each other. Unlike Erica Tamposi, does not follow me.
You should get the notifications like when your phone will buzz when Cole tweets. So you won't miss anything from now on.
That's a little much.
Twitter does a bad job of like that. They go out of order sometimes. Like, oh, you might have liked this tweet.
Yeah, right. And like that was 20 hours ago. What is this? Yeah. It's hogwash.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we need the kibitz about here?
For National Teacher Appreciation Day? I think it's National Teacher Appreciation Week. Did you get your children's teachers any flowers? I had to take a.
Ooh, I didn't.
I had to get tulips.
Oh, wow.
And I took my daughter to school. We rode our bikes, and I got to the front gate, and I said, I saw all these parents walking up with tulips, and I was like, I'll be right back. So I had to, you know, get on my.
It's a little like, I mean, I standardly, and I mean, I'll try to go a little above. I try to fall in a decent range when it comes to tipping. But I do think if it were a true meritocracy, I'm not going all the way to the start of Reservoir Dogs. Like, you should zero people no matter how bad the service is.
Steve Buscemi doesn't tip, yeah. Doesn't.
Yeah, and, you know, but I might fluctuate. You know, I might fall back to, like, 18% if the service is poor.
Okay.
If it's real bad, if it's apocalyptically bad, I might go back down to 15%.
Yeah, it has to be.
But generally, I'll try to do a nice tip.
Absolutely.
For people. But teachers, this thing that you just have to honor all teachers because that's what they've decided to be for their life. Like, well, yeah, what if they're not nice teachers? What if they're mean teachers?
Well, I don't think there's too many. I mean, I guess there's mean teachers along the way, but I mean, my daughter's kindergarten teacher, she's a gem.
In first grade, I once was outside at recess with Donnie Gruber.
Okay.
And Donnie Gruber.
Old DG.
Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, nice.
Cool dude, you know. I remember I had, like, in, like, round about third grade, got a drum kit. How many third graders have drum kits, you know?
Nice.
Anyway, Gruber and I, we're doing our stuff outside, whatever we're doing for recess. And he threw a very large, it was more a branch than just a little stick, but he threw, like, a branch in the general direction. He didn't hit anybody. You know, it's not like he committed an actual crime. It wasn't attempted assault.
Sure.
He threw it in the general direction of Tierney Cortese and Linda LaFace. Well, Linda LaFace and Tierney Cortese did not take kindly to that. So they went and reported to Miss P, our teacher. She went and they went to her. And they said,
both of you guys did.
They said Donnie Gruber and David
Damashek, yes,
threw a branch at us.
Yep.
Well, that was not good. And it was made even worse because just the week prior, I didn't care for. It was a weird thing in first grade. I still have not gotten a satisfactory answer from my parents on this.
Mm-hmm.
But in the area I grew up in my school district, there was once a week a thing like after school in the evenings, and you would go to the high school track around the football field, and you would run laps. And it was like sanctioned by the schools or the school district or something, because all the kids in my class would be there, and they would run these laps. And I think back, like, to what end? Why were you making us run? Like,
sleep better.
Yeah, but they make inmates run too against their will. Like, what kind of thing is this to make us run? Anyhow, they did. And once Miss P showed up, and she wasn't wearing her teacher outfit for
it's
this.
It's crazy to see them out of everyday gear.
Miss P showed up in shorts. Well, I opined when I saw her. I said, I said, wow, look
at her bad.
We had a complicated relationship. And I pointed out that that she had pig legs. Now listen to me. That was inaccurate to say that. That was wrong because pig legs are defined by the fact that if you think about
cloved hoof. Yeah.
Well,
cloved hoofs.
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking that they're unusually skinny, given what they have to support. That was not really a great kind of remark on several levels. Well, then also Miss P went home that very night and called Mo Damashek and told on me. She said, this is what Dave said. He has a problem with respect. He has a problem
with... put some respect on her name.
You better figure that out at your house, Dave, or Mo. And so Mo, she took out construction paper and crayons, and she made me write an apology note. And I remember I wrote on it, I am sorry. And that was the note. I wasn't making any additional extraneous designs or anything. I am sorry. I made my statement. Take it, you know? So I gave it to her. And I remember it was in those reading groups. You know, you had the separate reading groups. I remember I handed it to her at the completion of my little reading group as the next group came in. And I remember Miss P opened, like, I was like, here, this is for you. And I gave it to her. And she opened the paper, which had been folded. And she went, like, and gave me that silent, like, looked at me, but mouthed to me, thank you. That kind of a thing. So a week later now,
okay,
I make my remark.
And you're throwing sticks at kids.
Oh, yeah.
You and DG.
So now I've been accused.
Wrongfully.
Well, but by the way, yes. So now I've issued an apology a week prior. Now I've been accused by Tierney Cortez and Linda LaFace. And Miss P calls us in and promptly, no trial, no line of questioning.
I've been there before.
No, nothing.
I've been there.
Convicted. You're Donnie Gruber, David Damashek. No recess for 2 weeks for you.
Oh, man.
I said unjust. That's where is my
punch.
Trial?
That's
where is the punch. Jury of my peers? And she wasn't hearing any of it. And I said, you know what? I have to go to the bathroom for a minute. And so I went into the bathroom, and I thought about it for a second.
Sneaking
I considered my option.
Leaving school.
And it was such an injustice. I needed to let Mo Damashek know about it. And so I decided I'm not waiting till the end of school.
Payphone.
Payphone. I left. I went home. I got my winter jacket. I got my lunchbox. And I.
What grade is this in?
First grade.
You're leaving in about face and going home to let your
mom
know ahead
I left
of time.
And I walked my way home because I had to report the malfeasance to Mo Damashek.
Getting ahead of the curve.
I went back there. I rapped on the back door. I wasn't trying to hide from Mo. I was letting her know the score. Because she's a woman of justice. And I knocked on the door, but she wasn't home. And then, about 20 minutes later,
here comes the truants officer.
I started hearing people calling my name. And I didn't realize how large, only years later. I didn't find this out a couple weeks later. I found this out, you know, a decade after the fact.
Yeah.
The entire school shut down because a 6-year-old had vanished from the school in the middle of the day. And they went out in search parties. Well,
like bloodhounds and like torches, like
kind of. And they don't have, you know, they don't have that in Southern California. There are no basements because of earthquakes.
That's right.
But in a lot
right.
of places, the
window wells,
the basement have those little window wells.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So I jumped down into the window well because I heard them calling. Now, what it did was throw off the audio of the people yelling. Was warped then. It was tinny and everything else. And I thought I heard my mother call my name at some point, and I came out, and instead it was the lunch lady. And they nabbed me, and they took me back, and Miss P had me – I had to sit in the back of the car like I was, again, like a perp.
That's right.
Stuck in the back of the car until Miss P made her way out into the car, and she berated me. How dare I? How dare I? I said, how dare you?
This is pig legs.
Yes. Right. I said, how dare you? I didn't throw a stick, and you convicted me nevertheless.
Can you imagine a 6-year-old that's this eloquent
and she said,
fighting
and she
their case?
Said, and she said, this is disrespectful, don't you see? It's bigger than that. And I said, I don't think you're following me. And she said, I demand an apology. And
again.
I said, and I, that, you know what I said? I said to her face, you got your apology last week. Then school ended, and I went home, and I told Mo Damashek the score that I had wanted to tell her a few hours prior. Miss P called. She also wanted to file her report. You know what Mo Damashek said? She said to Miss P, she said, well, David told you he didn't throw the stick. Click.
Nice.
That's what a mother's supposed to do.
Way to go, Mo.
Then you wonder why I have complicated self-esteem, MVP. You understand?
Yeah.
I was wrongfully accused myself one time back in the day, Dave.
What?
My
what
buddy.
Mean wrongfully?
Wrongfully accused.
Oh, you were.
I was.
I thought you said you accused
seventh
yourself.
Grade. Seventh grade, a few years down the road past you. My buddy, Clayton Berger, who won the Remax Long Drive Championship back in 2003.
Wow.
Gets off the bus has the brand new Jordans with the 23 on the back. I said, wow, Clayton got some new jumpers. Miss May comes up. I don't know if Miss May is still with us or not. If she's not, rest in peace. She comes up, and she was like the Wicked Witch of the West. It's like, if you can't say anything nice at all, then don't say anything.
Rest in peace, but she was a witch.
She was mean. I mean, she was mean from the very beginning of the day until the very end. So I don't think Miss May was ever nice to anybody ever. And then she walked away, kind of we all had a confused look, and then Clayton had some certain words for her. Another teacher comes up and grabs me, thinks that it's me. This is before school starts. So, like, you go to the office, all right, bell rings, go to first period, carry on about my day. I go home, take a nap. I get woken up by my mom. Shouting, really? You called a teacher this, that? And I'm like, no, it wasn't me. And she's like, well, you have 3 days to think about it. You're suspended. I didn't get to plead my case. Nothing, Dave Damashek.
Wow.
Nothing to this day.
Outrageous.
Wrongfully accused.
Took me out of the educational process
for 3 days.
What's going on in our public schools?
Terrible.
You know?
Terrible.
No, there's no system in place, judicial process.
We got to call your school and clear your name.
We should. There's a lot of things that I was wrongfully accused of. That was just the one that really jumps out.
Do you know what? About 2018, about 12 years ago, on the Adam Carolla radio show, mm-hmm. I told this same story. I told that story. We called Linda LaFace and got her on the phone. And
really?
I demanded an apology that day.
She's not the CEO of LaFace Records.
Well, no, I mean, she's the one who started it. She's the one who instigated all this.
Did you really get her on the phone?
Yeah.
What did she say about it? She's like, hey, I'm sorry. You know, it was all a farce. Dave, I'm sorry dragging your name through the mud. Back in what year was that?
You know what? I'm not about to live life in the rearview mirror any more than I just have for the
last
12.
What year were you in first grade? What year
was that? First grade when I was 6 years old.
You know what the big oversight is, too, is like they're riding on two guys through one branch. Like –
Yeah, it's like it was a group effort.
Exactly right. Think that one through, Miss P. Think it through.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know your passion athletically is watching 6-year-olds run around a track for no good reason. But maybe take a break from that and consider the stick throwing business.
How dare they bring a 6-year-old's name through the mud?
Like 1, 2, 3, like let go. Like I don't get that.
Unless it was
Yeah. We threw a stick at you. And why would Donnie Gruber intend to, you know, throw a big, like he's going to hurt? No, he didn't even try to do it.
Six-year-old kids throw
sticks at
each other.
I wouldn't say Donnie Gruber threw it. He threw it in the general direction. Yeah.
Just throwing sticks for fun. It's what 6-year-old boys do.
I mean, come on.
Wasn't trying to hurt anybody.
All right, what else, MVP? What else about football do we need to talk? We've covered everything.
We've covered it all, you know.
I think we've done the whole show.
Did text my dad, who is a major homer. He's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I said, what do you think about Big Ben's comments? And he wrote, very juvenile.
Oh.
So it shows
that
Dave not being a homer.
No, that's the point. Most people are saying that Roethlisberger is wrong for these statements.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Wrong or I, and by the way, am I clear? Have I made this clear, or am I contradicting myself at any point along the way? I'm not saying that it is right for Roethlisberger to act this way. I'm saying that this is par for the course. This is the way guys in that position, more often than not, mm-hmm. almost always. Eli Manning is not in this conversation because Eli Manning doesn't rank as one of the all-time greats. Ben Roethlisberger, whether Eddie Spaghetti wants to acknowledge that or not, is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
I didn't say he's the top 5 Super Bowl era, but he's in the conversation. He's top 12, 15.
I'm just glad my quarterback does not want to get involved in nonsense like this.
Wow.
To me, it's a what
you should wish is that your quarterback were better.
No. Well, then he'd have one. I mean, he's won this equal amount of his Super Bowl rings as your quarterback has won. So it doesn't really – I mean, in my mind, they're equals.
Okay, but
would you not
rather have a quarterback who performs on the level of Roethlisberger than Eli Manning? Yes, of course.
If Roethlisberger had – I'd say sure.
How many Super Bowls did Ken Stabler have?
He won one.
Won one. Went to two.
The Raiders. No, he only went to that one.
Went to that one.
Won that one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You tricked me for a second.
I didn't have that at my immediate disposal.
No, in two the Raiders went, but that was the beautiful throwing motion of Daryl LaMonica.
Okay.
I mean, he's top of the guys I like the way they look throwing the ball. You know, I'm the QB whisperer. That's how I evaluate them, too. I watch them play. You know, I don't need all the cone drill nonsense.
No.
And what they did Underwear on the Olympics, Wonderlic and blah, blah, blah. I watch them play football in college against other people their age, and then I say, I bet that guy's going to end up being good, and it served me well.
So far.
Daryl LaMonica, what a glorious, beautiful throwing motion. But they lost to the Packers. Mm-hmm. Then the Raiders didn't get back to one until 11 because a team named the Pittsburgh Steelers stood in their path too often, as did the early 70s Miami Dolphins. All right. I think we've said enough. Have we said enough?
We said a lot today.
Well, you got somewhere to be?
Yeah, not necessarily. Not right now, but later in the day.
Okay. You know,
I'm always down to chop it up with you, man.
I got places to go, people to meet.
All right.
So I'm going to roll.
So even if I didn't have any place to be,
I was patronizing
here.
You.
All right, that's true.
That's what that's called.
That's cool.
Called patronizing Cole Wright.
That's right.
Check him out on all the Dodgers stuff. Check him out on Sirius NFL.
Yeah, Channel 88.
Works with Jeff Schwartz on
that's
occasion.
That's right. That's right. Also
Jersey
shows
hangs him. On the Digital Wall of Fame there, Jeff Schwartz.
That's an honor and
all
a
right.
privilege.
We'll talk to you later in the week.
Absolutely.
Until then, thin slice of heaven.